All right, our action-packed ESPN April rolls on Friday. The women's Final Four, we know you'll be watching. Sunday Night Baseball, Astros and Rangers. ESPN Hockey Night features the top teams in the West. The number one-seeded Stars taking on the Avs. A fantastic weekend headed your way. Meanwhile, hey, Lewis Riddick, you know we're scouting all these quarterbacks? You know there's one in Denver we haven't talked about yet. Watch this pass that Nikola Jokic threw last night. How about that? You see anything better than that at any of these pro days? How about that?
That's crazy, Connor.
That guy has a better arm than Jason.
Oh, that's crazy, for real.
Is he the best quarterback in Denver right now? I mean, do they have a better option?
Sean Payton, what are you doing? Get this man.
What about my guy Jared Stidham? You don't like Jared?
You tell me.
No, I love Jared Stidham.
Lou doesn't sound very impressed.
Pretty good throw.
Look, I love the Joker. I love the guy. Me and my son love watching him.
You better make that shot, too. When he throws a pass like that, if you miss that shot, you better make that
squad shot. Squad is here. Booger McFarland joins us in this hour as well. We are jam-packed. Let's get up. We're live from the Seaport. We're brought to you by Grey Goose, and it begins. Speaking of the big man being back, the return of the night, Joel Embiid, playing for the first time since January 30th, Sixers and Thunder. First quarter, what are you seeing from Embiid here, Alan Ha?
I'm seeing Embiid moving well defensively and being an impact player right away in the minutes that he played for this team.
Tobias Harris knocks down the three on the other end. Embiid would play 29 minutes. This is just 4 minutes in. You can see, obviously, the fatigue is a factor, but he's
always tired, Greeny. He always looks tired, but then he gets the ball and he does a step back jumper and he looks like himself again. That Donjoy brace, though, you see it right there, protecting that left knee, the meniscus surgery to get him back on the court.
He had 12 at the half. Now here we go. The Sixers trying to come back. They were down as many as 10. That's Kelly Oubre, who led the way with 25 points, gets the Sixers within two. And then here's Embiid working in the mid-range, and they're right back in it.
Yeah, he just looks like himself offensively, that's for sure. And then obviously you also need him inside the paint, just getting it done here. Going up strong. Oklahoma City doesn't have the size to contend with him. Chet Holmgren, another rough night. See him land. All right, take a breath. All right, you got to get to the free throw line. He was 12 for 12, by the way, from the line.
Right.
Half his points at the line.
He made those two there, which were critical. And then the defense, he would make more foul shots there. Embiid finishes with 24 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists. And the Sixers get a big win. They've got 6 games remaining. Let's see what he can do. Joel, talk to me.
It took a toll mentally. I just want to come back. You know, I think we got a chance, even, you know, the level that I'm at. And I'm only going to get better. But, you know, this one was probably the hardest by far, you know, especially mentally.
But they have 6 games remaining in the regular season. Chinne Igumuke up with us as well this morning. I'm just cutting directly to the chase this time, Chinne. I'm not dancing around the question. With a healthy Joel Embiid, are the Sixers the biggest threat to the ridiculously dominant Celtics in the Eastern Conference?
Woo! Don't dance around it. I'm going to give you a straight answer. No, because that is a big if Joel Embiid is able to return back to form. But I will say this. Embiid coming back with a handful of games left is forcing sleepless nights all across the East. It doesn't matter if you're the Celtics or the Bucks, or the Knicks. The biggest issue last night versus OKC was his stamina. My guy was tired, but his impact remains intact. Without his legs, he still gives you 24, 6, and 7 assists. He still gives you defense at the rim. He still gives you free throws in the clutch. What will he look like after their remaining 6 games? The answer is a problem, but right now, the Sixers still have a lot to piece together in order to contend with the league's best record in the Celtics.
Yeah, I mean, most of the East is not very good. They're all the same, right? It's the Celtics are head and shoulders above. So a threat to the Celtics, no. However, if the Sixers get a good first-round matchup for them, that's more games that you can buy for him. The more games that they play, the more condition he'll get into, the better things will go. If they can stay out of the Celtics bracket, and then they can find their way to the conference finals some way, somehow, with the matchups. Because Tyrese Maxey, who didn't play last night, is much better when he's got Embiid on the court. They've added pieces that Embiid was gone. They added these pieces that will make them better. So the more they play, the better it'll be for him to get into shape. And then maybe by the conference finals, they could be a threat.
Well, the path you're describing is sitting right there for them. They figure to be in the 7-8 game in the play-in. If they win that game, that's a one-game scenario to be the 7 seed, which means you get Milwaukee in the first round, and you're on the other half of the draw from Boston.
Yes, or Cleveland. And it's set up for them. If you look at the remaining schedule that they have the easiest remaining strength of schedule strength compared to any other team in the East. They are not playing tough teams. The next game, that's the tough one. They play the Heat on Thursday. But look at it. Even though it's on the road, at Grizzlies, you should win that game. Spurs have played better. It is on the road, but still should win that game. Pistons, not even trying. Magic, that's a tough one, but they might be locked into their spot. And then Brooklyn, again, not even trying. These are games that are winnable that could get them right where they need to be.
By the way, someone just drew this to my attention this morning, and it is worth saying on the air because it's so remarkable. The Celtics have a 12-game lead between first and second place in the Eastern Conference. That is larger than the margin from first place to 10th place in the Western Conference. That's how ridiculously dominant the Celtics have been. So, Chinay, at the end of the day, is everyone just playing for second place in the East anyway?
Oh, absolutely. Because I've always said that the Celtics' greatest competition is the Celtics. The standard is for them to win a championship. They have improved based off of the 2 years ago being in the finals and even last year's squad. And so everyone is playing for second place. But the thing is, if there's one team that really lacks a little bit of confidence, that plays a little bit too cool for school, it is the Celtics, but their expectation is to make sure that league best record delivers them to the finals.
All right, everybody stay right here. We have more basketball as we go. But to some football this morning, where we've been talking a lot about Field Yates' new mock draft. It just got posted on ESPN.com early this morning, and here you see the top 10 picks of it. He's got four quarterbacks going in the top five. That's inclusive of J.J. McCarthy, who he has the Vikings trading up to take. You see the star receivers on your screen, Neighbors and Adunze and Harrison Jr. If the Jets do take the tight end at number 10, my head might explode, but that's a different conversation. We won't get into it right now. Let's bring Booger McFarland into this conversation here, because the quarterbacks obviously get the spotlight, and Booger and Lewis and I will be on the set in Detroit with you 3 weeks from tomorrow night. In your mind, is it a done deal? Is it signed, sealed, and wrapped that Caleb Williams is going to go number one in a world where I have so many people up here telling me that Jaden Daniels is their preferred prospect?
Yeah, Green, I'm not going to write it in pen, but I'm going to take the pen out. I think when you see what Caleb Williams has done over the last 2 years, and I do bring up 2 years because the 2022 tape was better than the 2023 tape, I think when you look at his high-end performance, I think it's going to be too much to pass up for the Bears. And that's to take nothing away from Jaden Daniels, because Jaden Daniels, of all the quarterbacks, has the best 23 tape, and there's really not much that he can do. And Caleb Williams, they're not the same. And so when I look at this, though, to me, the separating factor is that when you go back and look at Caleb Williams in 2022, some of the improvisational plays, some of the stuff that you just can't teach, the high-end stuff, the reason some of us compare him to Patrick Mahomes and some of the way he can improvise and keep plays alive and still throw the football down the field and the arm, the velocity, all those different things, I think that is going to be too much for the Chicago Bears to pass up. With that being said, Greeny, I could flip a coin, and if you gave me either one of these guys as a franchise, I would be fine, because I think both of them are very high-end prospects. They need to be put in the right situation. They need a little work. But I do think the Bears are going to wind up taking Caleb Williams, because it's too much to pass up what they saw in 2022.
And Kmart, that jives with everything that you are hearing in all the calls that I'm begging you to make for me every day.
Yes, and everybody's sick of hearing from me. No, even when I throw out there, is there any chance that the Bears could do something crazy? Could they take Jaden? Is there any way that we could wake up day two and Jaden is actually the starter? Caleb's the starter in Washington, and everybody says to me, you're crazy. It is going to be Caleb Williams. And I understand it. I totally understand it. Jaden, we've talked all show about how he is phenomenal. I think just the person, when you talk to people who have talked to him, who sit down with him, the teams, they've been impressed by both guys. So I think one or two, however they fall, we assume Caleb, then Jaden, I think they're going to be straight.
So let me do this a little differently with you here, Lewis. Again, there's nothing I enjoy more. I just need you every day from now to the draft.
That's
because I could sit here all day long.
Yeah.
Stack them for me, all right? So if you're a general manager, which you are going to be someday,
sure.
And you're just – there are six quarterbacks who we could see – we expect to go either in round one or early in round two. If you were putting your board together, and I won't hold you to this because we still have 3 weeks left in the evaluation. Well, something could happen that could change your mind is what I'm saying.
I got you.
But right now, what order would you put them in?
Look, I'd put Jaden Simpson here, right?
Jaden Daniels,
this is
one.
Jaden Daniels would be one.
One. Caleb
would be
Caleb two.
And I'll tell you what. See, this is where everything gets interesting. Now.
Uh-huh. Okay, so,
but because of the fact that I actually sat there and watched Drake, I was this far away from him. We talked to him on set. I'm putting Drake three.
Tim Hasselbeck loves him. I mean, raves about Drake.
I've heard Tim go on and on. I think
so. Why do so many people have so many questions
about Drake?
Yes.
Because, look, there are mechanics inconsistencies that lead to some sporadic consistency as far as his accuracy is concerned. But you know what? Again, they said the same thing about Josh Allen. Josh has corrected that. Like I said, the quarterback development programs that are out there right now, the motion capture that they're using is like next level. These guys are changing up the way they throw. So look, I put Drake third. I put JJ. Then I put Penix.
And then Nick
then
six.
Then I would put Nick. Yeah.
So Booger, if when we're all sitting there 3 weeks from tomorrow night, we hear the name at number three or somewhere before we hear the name Drake May, the commissioner says the New England Patriots select J.J. McCarthy and Drake May is still on the board. What will you say, Booger?
Yeah.
Well, for me, that would be a mistake, Greeny. And I think when you look at Drake May, I think to Lewis's point, all the talent is there. I mean, the size, the arm velocity, the ability to create and make plays, he's just still raw. Like, he just still needs coaching. He needs somebody to work with him, clean up his footwork, clean up his timing. But when you look at J.J. McCarthy, like, the J.J. McCarthy hype train has taken on a whole new meaning since the season ended. I mean, we got some people saying he may need to be drafted number two overall. I just don't see it because I think when you look at the other prospects, when you look at Caleb, when you look at Jaden, when you look at Drake, at some point in their career, I've seen them handed the football and they've taken over the game and they've won games and they put the entire team on their back. I've yet to see J.J. McCarthy do that on a consistent basis. And so if we're going to project him being this high, being a franchise quarterback, being somebody we're going to take in the top five, I need to have seen that at some point in his career, and I just haven't seen that. So I'm not as big and as high on J.J. McCarthy as some people.
Yeah, look, J.J. really wasn't in those situations where they had to put it on his
back. Right.
So you know, he can't do something that really wasn't there for him to do. Now, if you objectively want to look at the statistics and you want to look at total QBR, QBR under pressure, QBR on third down, fourth, look, JJ's in there now. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you're talking about total QBR, especially QBR against under pressure, he's top four, top five in college football last year. So statistically, objectively, you can't argue with it. Now, the sample size isn't as big, and there aren't as many flash moments as there are with these other two quarterbacks. And I get that. I get that. But this guy, you have to project a little bit more with him, and that makes people uncomfortable.
Well, I mean, Dan Orlovsky said it here on Monday. He said, with J.J. McCarthy, the floor is probably much higher than it mm-hmm. is for some of the others, but the ceiling may not be as high if you strike gold with some of these guys, and that's the game we're playing here. Kmart, final
word. Yeah, I've heard the Giants, the Patriots, Minnesota, all like J.J. McCarthy. So it'll be interesting at three how the draft changes, because everybody in that QB draft room has to be in agreement when they make a call. This is the guy we're going to go to. So I want to see what the Patriots do, and that might, you know.
Let me take a quick break on that thought. Again, Lewis chomping at the bit, and I love it.
This is something I just want to say about
Lewis
that whole
is going to be here every single day from now until the draft. I'm decreeing it.
Lewis,
I don't care what else happens. In the meantime, I have so many questions coming up here, and Lewis and Booger are going to answer them all. If you are getting ready for the NFL draft, you do not want to go anywhere near changing your channel. Plus, have the Cowboys set themselves up for total failure next season? One person who I believe in sounded off big time on Dallas's biggest problem, and you'll hear what it is next. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back.
Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, before we go any further on Get Up, can we just relive a moment that happened earlier? Kmart just dropped a pen.
Okay.
Why did you feel you needed to pick it up right then?
My brain was in autopilot. I don't know. And honestly, I realized Lou is here dropping so much knowledge. I was like, I need this pen to jot down some notes real quick.
And but Can I just point out that in that moment, we were in the little boxes, right? So you literally lean, when you lean down to pick that up, you lean directly out of the box.
When you went down to get it, I was like, is she really picking that up?
I know. And then when I stood up, I was like, oh, shoot, there's my empty box. Damn it.
Did you need to write something down right then?
Greeny. Sometimes, you know what? Sometimes people mess up. I'm human.
No, it was just, we all thought it was funny. And when people do unintentionally funny things on the show, we like to point it out. In the meantime, next up, it's Sound Off. You're going to hear interesting people saying interesting things. The first is my guy, Mark Schlereth, our buddy Stink, with strong thoughts on who is responsible for the Cowboys' shortcomings. Listen to this.
When I know the coach has no authority over me, and I know the coach has not been empowered, and I know that this scapegoat, if we don't win, won't be me, it'll be we don't have the right guy, then when push comes to shove, and when the going gets tough, ain't my fault, you end up developing an organization of finger pointers. This is why I think the Cowboys, I think under Jerry, they're just not going to win.
Heard a lot of people say things like that. What did you think of that, Lou?
Yeah, look, I love Stink. You know, Stink is my dude.
The best.
And you know what? And he has a point now as far as a culture of accountability or lack thereof. But look, man, like all season we constantly churn the Cowboys about this kind of stuff, about culture and what's going on in the building. Is Jerry a problem? Is Mike McCarthy a lame duck? Is he, you know, is he not empowered and all? Look, man, when you're out on the football field, Stink's one of the best to ever do it. And he's won championships galore. You don't care about Mike McCarthy and his relationship with Jerry Jones and what Jerry's going to do after the game. When you care about converting on third down and stopping on third down. And if you aren't big enough, strong enough, fast enough, smart enough to get it done, the Cowboys' issues are on the field, okay? What happened against Green Bay had nothing to do with Jerry Jones having a press conference after the game. It had everything to do with them trying to put a 200-pound linebacker in there against 12 personnel. Fix your football team. Fix this offensive line, because you ain't going nowhere with this offensive line and running game you got right now anyway. We can talk about culture all you want. You're going nowhere unless you fix the left side of your offensive line, get another running back, and make sure you have size on defense. We can talk till the cows come home about this stuff, and we will, about their culture. But none of us are there, so we don't really know anyway. Fix the football team, because otherwise it ain't going to matter anyway.
Booger, I'll come to you on this next one here, because I want everyone to hear it. I have been searching high and low for the great football mind that I've been craving. And I found it yesterday in the person of Stephen A. Smith. On First Take, he said this.
Wow. The Jets got a chance, bro. And I'm telling you right now, if you're telling me that everybody's going to be healthy, I would pick the Jets to win the AFC East this year. I really would.
What?
That's my guy.
Okay.
Talk to this. Talk to this.
Not talk to the helmet. Talk to the helmet. Okay.
You're talking to the helmet.
Talk to the helmet.
Go on. Talk to the helmet now. Whatever you're about to say, I want you to address it to the helmet.
Okay.
I would pick the Jets.
No, the AFC East.
Yeah, Lewis, we're talking to the helmet here.
Get out of here.
Let's talk to the helmet. What were you going to say? Go ahead, say it.
Hold on. I just want to. Look, like I said.
Now don't damage the helmet.
Listen, you know what? Okay, he said
if Stephen A did not say anything.
If Robert Saleh, if Nathaniel Hackett, if the defense continues, if the.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of ifs.
Last year, I think it was like August I was here.
Yeah.
That's when I was talking to that ridiculous jersey.
Talking to the jersey. Yeah.
And I told you that day, I said, Greeny, they ain't winning the East.
Right.
I wasn't predicting that Aaron Rodgers would pop as a killer, obviously.
Right.
But look, they ain't winning the East this year either.
Booger, are the Jets going to win the AFC East this season?
No.
No, Greeny, absolutely not. And I can say that even if everyone stays healthy, Greeny, because I don't think they're the most talented team in that division. If you said that Tyron Smith is going to be healthy, the offensive line is going to play to their peak, Aaron Rodgers is going to play 17 games, I still don't think they're the most talented team in that division, Greeny. So I hate to burst your New York Jets bubble. You know I love you. You're one of my favorite golfing guys. Can't wait to tee it up with you. But the New York Jets aren't built right now, even if they stay healthy, to win the AFC East.
Oh, golf is canceled.
Okay, well, we know Golf is canceled.
Golf is off. I mean,
Lewis,
that's off. Talk some sense here.
Booger, this is Booger's last appearance on Get Up. Yeah. I can tell you that much.
If the Jets stay healthy, I know it's a big if.
Yeah.
But come on. The talent is Hassan Reddick? Are you kidding me?
Look, defense? Okay.
No, he asked me. Yeah. So the Jets, if all of those things happen,
yes,
the Jets can win the division. Do we think all of those things will happen?
If there is a God. If there is a God, then all those things will happen for me. Just once in my life, one time, the impossible
don't blame
will
God
happen.
For this, Greeny.
And Tyron Smith will be healthy. And
Mike Williams
will be healthy. And Rodgers will be healthy.
Just think about the things that you're counting on right there, right?
Yes.
Tyron Smith is 33. Morgan Moses is 33. Mike Williams is coming off of an injury. Aaron Rodgers is coming off an injury, and he's 40. That's four people right there.
Yes.
And if you're missing any one of those, it's over. It's over.
Greeny's
You're like,
I understand that.
It's an availability issue, period.
So
do they have the talent on paper? Yes.
Yes,
they do.
Stephen didn't tell you anything we didn't know.
No, but Stephen A. Smith knows everything. I mean, if there's one thing that I have figured out, it's that Stephen A. is generally speaking, he is right. Booger, final word on this.
Well, Greeny, here's the thing that I will say. I want to see Aaron Rodgers protected and healthy just to see how high he can raise that team, because the entire organization has been built around him. They've catered to his every want, his every need. And so now they need him to stay healthy. I just want to see how high that a guy who's 40, who is going to turn 41 in December or whatever it is, can take this franchise, because I want to see you happy, my friend, whether that's on the precipice of winning the East or getting into the playoffs. I just want to see you happy, my friend, for once in December and January.
Can I get a bigger helmet, by the way? Like, I requested a Jets helmet, and this is what I got. This is like, we could smash this.
Where did the jersey go?
I don't know.
And you replaced it with yourself?
I can't find it. No, I didn't.
That's how bad the season was.
Things have really gotten sideways on us here.
He put himself up there, yeah.
All right, we'll take a short break as we continue. Would Caitlin Clark be the GOAT of women's basketball with a championship win? One person says no, and you have to hear why. Plus, we got LeBron and Steph in action. Talking basketball. They both put together big wins and last night, but we'll tell you why only one of them has any real chance. And right now we got a little sneaky Pulse. Here we go. Pulse is our researcher today, and here's the trivia question for Alan. Which team won the NBA title in the only season that both the Lakers and Warriors missed the playoffs? It's only happened once. The answer's next. Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're back at the bottom of the hour, and there she is, the biggest star in sports today. Caitlin Clark in Iowa, arriving in Cleveland for the Final Four yesterday, less than 24 hours after more than 12 million people watched Iowa beat LSU right here on ESPN. So I had Rebecca Lobo on here yesterday on Get Up, and she gave her take on where Caitlin right now ranks in the debate about who is the greatest of all time.
When you get into the GOAT conversation, does she need to win a national championship in order to be considered the GOAT? I don't think so. I think she needs to win multiple national championships to be in that kind of a conversation. Because when you look at the history of the game, you know, Candace Parker won 2 championships at Tennessee. Diana Taurasi won 3 championships. Breanna Stewart won 4 national championships. Not only won 4 championships, she was the most outstanding performer in 4 Final Fours. Caitlin is an incredible player. She has done more in terms of bringing attention and eyeballs to the women's game than any player we have ever seen. That's a mere fact. But when you want to talk about the GOAT conversation and you add championships to the mix, you have to understand the history of the game.
Fascinating insight from one of the great players of all time and one of the great champions. And so here's Chinua Achebe, herself one of the great players in recent college basketball memory. So how about that? There were so many people. Look, again, 12.3 million people watched the game the other night and you and Andrea and Elle sitting there, hosting the coverage and everything. And that means there are a lot of new people who are coming to the sport who don't know much about the history of it. So when they say, hey, Chinua, is Caitlin Clark the best player ever? What is the answer?
I will say respectfully, no. And that is not to discredit what Caitlin Clark has done so far. But as Rebecca mentioned, through my personal experience, as someone who has played against Diana Taurasi countless times, who has played against Candace Parker, who changed the culture by dunking in the tournament, Maya Moore, literally the hardest player in my career that I've ever had to guard and defend, and Breanna Stewart, who beat me in my final four game en route to 4 national championships. Respectfully, Caitlin Clark is not the greatest player of all time, but she does have an invite to the conversation if she wins a championship. But she is absolutely the greatest, most prolific scorer the college game has ever seen. She is an offensive juggernaut, the greatest three-point shooter the women's game has seen in college, and she is a beneficiary of the game that has been changed by the likes of Steph Curry, and she's applying that in a very similar way to the women's game. But right now, respectfully, no. And guess what? That's fine, because she is the most impactful player that we have seen in generations, and that might actually matter even more.
Yeah, the evidence of that was on display with, among other things, the television ratings and maybe the beginning of something that has been completely different from what we had seen in the past. So that said, do you think she gets it? There were a lot of skeptics about this Iowa team and whether they would even get through Colorado and certainly whether they would get through LSU. Now they've got to play UConn, and then we would assume if they get there, unbeaten South Carolina. Do you expect Iowa to win this thing and put her in that discussion?
Do I expect Iowa to win this thing? Now, 2 rounds prior, I was very nervous. I said that they were in the danger zone because teams that rely on one star player, she accounted for 71% of Iowa's points versus LSU. Those teams typically do not win, but this matchup versus UConn is spicy because of what Coach Gino Auriemma said. He said he believes that Paige, in some ways, is better than Caitlin. Now, that's the right thing for your coach to say, but why does Coach Gino think so? It's because Paige is scoring and rebounding and assisting, plus has a post game, which differs from Caitlin's, you know, typical threes and layups, which she expertly crafts on a night-to-night basis. But still, if Caitlin were to beat a juggernaut in UConn perennially that we have seen the last 10 to 20 years and then beat an undefeated South Carolina, that invite to the greatest of all conversation, like, that's delivered at her house. Not saying she is, but she has done tremendous things that have inspired winning.
I'm with you. That would be an unbelievable way to cap what will be one of the great careers in the history of the sport, no matter how you slice it. All right, Chinay, stay there. I want to get to the NBA here, and let me get Alan in here because we've got the trivia question. And here it is again. Which team won the NBA championship in the only year that both the Lakers and Warriors missed the playoffs?
I'm going to go with the percentages of teams that won a ton of titles. I'm going to go with the Boston Celtics. This is a straight-up guess.
The Boston Celtics is a good guess for that reason. It isn't correct, however. The answer is San Antonio in 2005. That was the year after Phil Jackson, Shaq, Gary Payton, and Karl Malone all left the Lakers. Yep. The Lakers and Golden State tied for last in the division that year at 34-48. Duncan and company won the championship.
It's hard to believe because with Kobe, you didn't expect the Lakers to ever miss the playoffs in that run.
Well, they would, of course, regroup and win two more championships down the road. Okay, let's watch the Warriors here from last night. How about you want to see a little fun before the game starts? Alan, how about Luka Doncic and Steph Curry trading pregame half-court shots?
Can we replace the dunk contest with this at All-Star Weekend? Because the stuff you saw Luka shoot one off the scoreboard in Houston a couple of nights ago, this would be more fun to watch than the dunk contest has ever been.
Yeah, then they're arguing playfully over whose shot was actually longer. All good. Now 9 minutes to go in the game. Mavs down by nine. Luka had 30, 12, and 11.
Luka magic, and as the Warriors looked like they were going to roll to a win, he kept putting pressure on them. Steph Curry didn't have a great game, but he had a lot of help from others, including Draymond Green, who really had a terrific game defensively. This right here is a goaltend, though. It is a good attempt, but a goaltend. And watch this block right here from Draymond Green. Chris Paul called it one of the greatest defensive plays he's ever seen. Catching him on Gafford going for what should have been an easy two on a dunk, and Draymond flexing. That's good Draymond for the week.
I mean, after the week he had last week, he's played so well. There he is driving. He had 11 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 steals. A typical Draymond night, and typical perhaps only for him. And so, Chinay, I mean, the Warriors are the most expensive roster in the history of basketball, and they have one of the greatest players in the history of basketball in Steph Curry, but they're fighting just to stay in the play-in. Do they constitute any significant threat in your mind when the playoffs begin?
Look, play-in versus playoffs. First, the Warriors have to be a threat in the play-in, which is crazy to say. But this season, they've really been playing with fire. Being in the play-in is a recipe to get burned because pulling off what the Miami Heat did last year is easier said than done. Now, you never bet against Steph Curry, and last night they looked great. If you watch the game, Draymond was back to defending on one end, pushing in transition, applying pressure on the rim. Wiggins, their X factor 2 years ago when they won the championship, giving you 23 points. But the only thing that has been consistent about this version, this iteration of the Golden State Warriors, is that they have had inconsistent performances by players not named Steph Curry. Yesterday, I got confident, but the confidence is only in the play-in, and you're going to have to string together multiple wins to get to the playoffs.
Yeah, one more thing to add to that. Sure, even if they get to the postseason, the actual playoffs, they are 1-10 against the top three teams in the West, so they have not fared well against those teams. To be a threat in the playoffs, you got to be able to beat some teams, especially get out of the first round. And the matchups tell you they will not.
There are going to be some big decisions to be made in Golden State whenever it is their season comes to an end. Meanwhile, let's run the floor through the NBA. Chinay, LeBron had 23 last night. Lakers beat the Raptors. They've been hot. Are you buying the Lakers as legit in the West?
Look, as we just mentioned, you never bet against Steph. You also never bet against LeBron James, who shot 83% from the field last night. And they have finally found a strong starting lineup now. The West is stacked. The Lakers can play defense. They can win a round or two. They can win in the play-in. But honestly, everyone is just right now trying to dodge the Nuggets as long as possible.
Well, last night, Wemby didn't dodge Nikola Jokic or the Nuggets. And while Denver won what was a close game, Wembanyama was spectacular. You see the stat line on your screen against Jokic. Is he getting close to being in the MVP conversation? I don't mean for this year.
No, not this year, but I think it's close. I think within 2 years, he'll be in the conversation just based on the numbers he's putting up. Look at his All-Star break numbers. Since then, he is putting up a stat line that we haven't seen since Kareem back in 79. And to me, that's what's going to put him in the conversation. The Spurs have the assets and the ability to build a winning team around him, which then puts him in that conversation.
In the meantime, we see the Wizards last night inexplicably beating Milwaukee, a Milwaukee team that has been awful on the road this year, and that is an inexcusable loss. Listen to their coach after the game.
We don't bring the necessary professionalism, seriousness on the road, and that's something that we can fix. That's something we're going to have to fix.
I'm sorry. Wait a minute. What? We don't bring the necessary professionalism on the road?
Seriousness.
In the final week and a half of the regular season with a team that has championship aspirations?
And also a team that hasn't locked up second place yet. It's one thing if you've already got that spot locked and you're kind of just, you know, going through the motions because you know you're locked in two. They're not. The Cavs, I'll tell you what. If not for the injuries for the Cavs and the Knicks, the Bucks would be in fourth place in the East. That's a legit thing. I mean, they are one game over 500 with Doc Rivers as the coach. They have not been playing like a house on fire. So if not for injuries, they'd be a fourth place team in the East. So they are in second, but they aren't there locked in. The Cavs are only two games back of them. And when you talk about professionalism and seriousness and being 18-20 on the road, that's leadership.
I'll throw another one at you. If Joel Embiid hadn't gotten hurt, they would have the fifth best record in the East. That said, they have Giannis Antetokounmpo, and they have Dame Lillard, and they have an experienced veteran coach in Doc Rivers. Is this a team that you think is a legitimate threat to Boston in a seven-game series, Chinay?
Look, when you have two of the better players in the NBA, you always have a chance. And I'm talking about Giannis and Dame. But as you were talking to Alan, I was kind of laughing because I feel like the Bucks, they have been playing with their food. They ate it.
Yes.
But they still have been able to remain skinny and be at that number two seed. It's like, how does that make it make sense to me? It's wild. The Bucks have been playing to the level of their competition, and the NBA at this point is too deep for one star to save you. I mean, without Dame, there's still no answer for Giannis putting up a 35-point triple-double. But there is, though, an answer for an entire team that can't get back on defense. They struggle in transition defense, and to me, that is the cardinal sin of defense, and that's something that Coach Doc Rivers was brought to fix. And so I think he's right. Professionalism, if you go out there, you're expected to do those things. When they fall below the standard, still remaining at two has been, like, wild to me.
They're going to need to get a whole lot better before these games coming up. In the meantime, we've got games coming up tonight. Our Wednesday doubleheader, you're going to see Tatum and the Celtics. You're going to see OKC. That's 7:30 Eastern. Then you'll see Donovan Mitchell and the Cavs taking on KD and the Suns. Coverage tips with NBA Countdown at 7. All right, I've been looking forward to this all morning long. I've got the five biggest questions about the upcoming NFL draft. And Lewis and Berger are going to answer all of them next.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
All right, we're back on Get Up, and we have made it to the month of April. 3 weeks from tomorrow night, we will descend upon Detroit, and the NFL draft will take place. And I'm looking forward to it. Lewis is looking forward to it. Booger is looking forward to it. So let's do the big five questions. I asked five questions on Monday as my green list that I think are the central questions leading into the draft. Let's get the answers from the guys who know. Number five, I'll start with you, Lewis.
Yep.
Will Malik Nabers surpass Marvin Harrison Jr. and become the first receiver off the board?
It's not out of the realm of possibility. He is gaining steam, and I say that with the caveat of, look, I understand that we haven't played any football games, but this is a guy who had his workout, had a 42-inch vertical, ran 4.38 in the 40. He looks like Ja'Marr Chase. That's what he looks like. He's built like a running back in his lower half, but he's got the speed to be able to threaten the field on the outside like an X and a Z, which is what most people think is the number one wide receiver, the guy who can line up outside and win. Marvin has already shown you he can do that. As a matter of fact, Marvin, I think this year and last year, he was upwards of 85-90% of his snaps were taken outside.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with Malik, it's almost like 50-50. Or actually, the predominantly he's inside. So I think most people associate that with being a true number one. And I like the bigger guy. And on top of it, remember, he played with basically no quarterbacks this year.
Mm-hmm.
Last year he had CJ and he tore it up.
Yep.
These guys are nip and tuck. It's going to be a matter of flavor. Which one do you like? But I think Marvin goes one.
Field Yates has three receivers in his top 10 in his new mock draft, by the way, these two and Rome Odunze. Question number four, Booger, is for you. Could Jaden Daniels supplant Caleb Williams and be the first quarterback off the board?
Yeah, Greeny, he could supplant him because the talent is that close. I think when you go back and look at the 2023 tape, the Heisman Trophy winning season of Jaden Daniels, it was spectacular, Greeny. Whether you're talking about short, intermediate, or deep throws, he was on the money. He was the best quarterback out there. And I think the added element of his ability, when all else fails, he can pull the football down, Greeny. And he didn't run a 40, but I guarantee if he were to run a 40, he's going to be in the 4-3 range. So there's really nothing he can't do. And I think if you're the Chicago Bears and you're doing your due diligence, you have to ask yourself a serious question. Even though I think most assume they're going to take Caleb, you have to bring up Jaden Daniels in the conversation.
Yeah, that's the point. These things aren't a consensus. I think if it was a consensus, Jaden Daniels might vault to the top. But at the end of the day, it's one person's opinion.
You see that run against
Florida. Yeah, he's spectacular.
He's 6'4", 210, and he looks like Eric Dickerson out there.
Let's do more quarterback questions here. My question number three was, could J.J. McCarthy move into the top three? Could he wind up being one of the first three quarterbacks off the board?
Yeah, because, look, I mean, when you're talking about evaluators, whether it be owners, presidents, GMs, head coaches, offensive coordinators, sometimes these guys, like, all it takes is one guy to say, hey, look, I kind of like what the potential upside is and how high the floor is on a guy like J.J. McCarthy. I think he presents a better risk profile than Drake May. I think we have less of a chance of him busting as opposed to Drake May, and we have more of a chance of him becoming a big-time winner because he's already shown it at Michigan. He led a top-notch program to a national title, and Jim Harbaugh is sitting here saying he's the best quarterback in the history of Michigan.
Yep.
So there's people who will put a lot of stock into that, a lot, that could go ahead and say, hey, look, he is above Drake. I don't see it that way, but it's not, again, it's not out of the realm of possibility.
By the way, Harbaugh was the last Michigan quarterback to go in the first round. I want to bring in Kimberly right now because Kmart, I feel like there is some movement that you were telling me this morning. A lot of these teams like McCarthy. That's the guy they're talking about trading up for.
Yes. The Patriots. I've heard the Patriots, the Giants, Minnesota, a team that we know is trying desperately to get into the top five, top 10, close to five, six, because they want to be able to get their quarterback. And I think it's going to be I think the guy they're targeting is J.J. McCarthy. The question is, if you're the Giants and you like J.J. McCarthy, do you need to move up to ensure that do you need to move up to make sure that you can get him, somebody else, if the Patriots take McCarthy? Like, there's so many moving pieces here.
Right.
And I think it's not about, we assume Caleb, then Jaden, we assume. What the Patriots do at three dictates what a lot of teams, and another team, the Raiders, told, keep an eye on them for a different guy, not J.J. McCarthy, but like a Michael Penix. The Raiders pick at 13. Is that a guy that they decide to get if they can't get a Jaden Daniels because Antonio Pierce?
Well, that brings me to the next question perfectly, actually, Booger, and it is for you. When we sit there, we finish that first night, will we have had four, five, or six quarterbacks go in round one?
Ooh. Greeny, I feel really confident it's going to be four. If we're talking five and six, then we're talking Bo Nix and Michael Penix. I think Michael Penix is a more talented quarterback, but you got to get past the medical, the injury history, the couple of ACLs, the shoulder. Now, the last 2 years have been clean, but can you get past that? Bo Nix, to me, is the wild card because a lot of people look at Bo Nix and they see all the starts, all the experience, and how that translates to the NFL. But can Bo Nix be a high-end quarterback? Does he fit someone like a Sean Payton system in Denver? Does KOC in Minnesota say, you know what, Bo Nix is our guy? I feel really confidently, Greeny, there's going to be four. I just don't know how well I would sleep if I had to tell you right now it's going to be 5 and 6, and those 5 and 6 guys are going to be Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr.
Came out. What's the draft order right now? Minnesota, Denver, like the Raiders, like all those teams, they all want guys.
Yeah.
And so it'll be so fascinating. Which one is able to move up to get the guy that they want?
Well, and that is actually question number one here, is who's coming up to get the quarterbacks?
Yeah, it'll be Minnesota, it'll be Denver, it'll be the Raiders. Those will be the teams that are trying to get up. I think you have to kind of like understand that all these teams that need quarterbacks, supply and demand are almost matching up to the point where these guys, are you really going to try and wait until round two? You really want to play that game and then get left out? You want to be stuck with Sam Darnold? You want to be stuck with Aiden O'Connell? You want to be stuck with Gardner Minshew? Is that how you want to really roll into this season? Especially when you think, hey, look, a guy like Bo Nix, there was an interesting comparison made to, as far as Sean Payton is concerned. Does Bo Nix remind you a little bit of Drew Brees in terms of a guy, high efficiency rate, high completion percentage, a guy who didn't work under center very much? Could Sean teach him that part of the game? He looked pretty good at that at the Senior Bowl. A lot of starts, a lot of experience, protects the football, more athleticism than you give him credit for. See, look, those guys are going in the first. And Michael, the way he looks at it, looked at his pro day.
Yeah.
Come on, you can't let him get – there's no way he gets out of the first round. I just don't see that.
Let me get Booger back in. Go, big man.
Yeah, to your point, Lewis, you talk about you don't want to be left out, but I'll flip it over on the other side. Do you want to draft a guy entirely too high? If you don't have a first-round grade on, say, Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr., are you going to draft him in the top 15 picks just so you can get a quarterback? I would love for you to answer that from a GM perspective.
Yeah, I mean, what? The only reason why I would say yeah is simply because of the supply, demand, and the uncertainty of what do I do if I don't? What's my next best alternative? What's my next best alternative if I don't have him? And then he gets taken by someone else. Somehow, some way, I'm not able to get these guys in the second round. And then I'm stuck with the people that I have. And then I don't know what 2025 draft looks like. And then now we all know everything crumbles from there. I think you take your shots on this simply because there are guys who are good enough, I believe, to play starting caliber winning football in the NFL. Bo Nix and Michael Penix are capable of doing that.
Final word, Kmart.
When's the next time you're going to be picking in the 3, 4, 5 in the top 10? Yeah. You don't know.
Yeah, well, the Patriots, I agree with the very first thing you said. The Patriots feel to me like the first real pressure point here. Mm-hmm. Quarterbacks are going 1 and 2. Well, they're going 1, 2, and 3 for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The question is New England going to be willing to trade back? That's where a lot of the intrigue will start. Meanwhile, the intrigue continues here with First Take. They're next. Who's to be trusted more in a potential series, the Bucks or the Sixers? Is Wemby already a top 10 player? It's a Mad Dog Day. Stephen A. Mad Dog, Chenet, Lewis Riddick, and plenty more. Top of the hour.
Don't mind me, guys.
Before we go, not only this morning did Kimberly Martin drop her pen on the air and decide she needed to pick it up like in that second, but then going to the break, what were you doing here?
Look, every time you go to commercial, I want a fist bump, and you left me hanging.
It's my bad.
Yeah. We got to explode it, too.
Good fun today. See you tomorrow. First Take starts now.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.